Long service tonight. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered. Ask a continued interest in your prayers. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Often, as the last few weeks, we've made mention of the fact that we're facing challenges in the way that we've accustomed to living our life, and there are those that wants to change that. It seems like I think that's become very evident that there are those who want to change a lot of things in this country. I don't say that to make anybody fearful. I think we just need to sound the alarm. I think we need to be realizing that things are changing around us. I hope it doesn't change a lot, but things are changing. And not much we can do about it. But God can do whatever He'd like to about it. And if our hope and our thoughts and our affection and all of that is set upon the Lord and trusting Him, then He can take care of us no matter what changes around us. Now, like I said, I hope it doesn't change very much, but they're already making their inroads here and there, and it's a challenge. So, what's on my mind tonight is similar to what we have spoken of a number of times, but I want to do a COVID checkup tonight. Now, I don't have any test kits, so I'm not going to be testing anybody for the virus. But while we have this all around us, and while we're faced with all of these distractions and all of these frustrations and all of, you know, I'm sure you've got your frustrations. I'll share a little personal thing real quick. I got a letter from the IRS this week. They wanted me to prove my identity. I'm 63 years old. I've been filing a tax return every year that I've been working. We've lived in the same place for 13 years. And they want me to prove my identity. I won't go into all the details about what I had to do to do that, but it's just mind-numbing sometimes to have to deal with some of these agencies and some of these requirements and so forth. The reason I bring that up is because it's typical of things that are going on in our culture today that gets our mind off of the Lord and gets us stirred up and gets us frustrated. So as a checkup tonight, let's just kind of remind ourselves of some things that we need to be focused on while Satan and his minions are trying to pull us away from doing those things. I'm firmly convinced that Satan is at the root of all of this. He's always wanted those to worship him instead of God, and he hasn't stopped in whatever he's doing. He hasn't changed his tactics. They're just the same. Paul said we ought not to be ignorant of his devices, discouragement, fear, all those kinds of, those are some of his favorite tools to use against God's people. And sometimes we allow him some victories. Yeah. Allow him some victories. You remember what, I'll get to my text in a minute, but you remember what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, right? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Right. But God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So if we're holding on to the Lord, and when we're clinging to Him and saying, Lord, I need your help, He shows us what to do. It's when we're not doing those things, it's when we think we can handle it ourselves, that's when we get really frustrated, that's when we can get fearful, that's when we can be upset more than we need to be. You know, most of you knew Sister Jane Edgerton. And I wish I had known her better longer. I got acquainted better with her in her last few years. And I was always so impressed in how that she seemed like, no matter what happened, nothing rattled her, nothing shook her. She just was steady. She was just trusting the Lord. Now, that was all I ever saw. And that's all I can testify to. Some of you knew her many more years longer than I did. But Sister Nancy's shaking her head over here, so I think I'm on safe ground in saying I had a pretty good estimation of Sister Jane. I didn't know her in her earlier years. I do know she told me one time that she loved to sew, and they didn't have thread when she was growing up, and so she would unravel a flour sack and save the thread to use for sewing. Well, I could just imagine she developed some patience. I just suspect that she had some patience going into that to be able to do that. Being steady. See, a COVID checkup tonight. What do we need to be doing? What do we need to remember to stay focused on the Lord? You know this whole list. But let's talk about it. Let's be reminded of it. Let's stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, like Peter said in 2 Peter. In his second letter, that's the theme of that second epistle of Peter, is to bring us into remembrance of things that we already know so that we can serve the Lord better and that our life will be better each day we live here while we wait for Him to come and take us home to be with Him. And how did He end up that second epistle? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So as we begin our checkup, let me read the verse that I want to use as a basis for this. We've looked at this a number of times, but I'm coming at it from a different angle tonight. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. That's needful, isn't it? You know, if we would judge ourselves, elsewhere in the scriptures it says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, if we take the responsibility to judge ourselves each day, then we wouldn't allow ourselves to get into some of the things that others might have to rebuke us for along the pathway. So examine yourselves, Paul says, for what? Whether you be in the faith. Okay, well, there's an assumption there that we know what the faith is. So we need to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We need to be growing in our understanding of how He would have us to live, how He would have us to respond to these frustrations that we're facing in life. Examine ourselves to see if we're doing that in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, according to thus saith the Lord. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. All right? Prove your own selves. In other words, as you examine yourself, maybe you had a frustration today. Maybe there was somebody that was difficult to deal with. Maybe there was somebody that was stepping on your last nerve. Maybe there was somebody that wasn't kind. Maybe they seemed to be real selfish and just wanted their way and didn't consider anybody else. There's lots of ways that we can be frustrated in life. And if we're so busy that we're not thinking about others either, then we might respond to them in kind instead of in kindness. So there's the need for us to examine ourselves, see whether we be in the faith, prove our own selves. It's much better that we take heed and adjust our own selves rather than waiting for somebody else to do it. Because, you know, when that happens, if there's not a good level of maturity there, folks' feelings are going to get hurt. Right? So we need to be mature enough in the faith to receive admonition and be instructed by it instead of being offended by it. Sometimes folks get offended just because they realize that you're telling them the truth and they don't want to hear it. But we need to be mature enough in the faith to understand that if we didn't judge ourselves, if we didn't examine ourselves, if we didn't prove our own selves, and somebody else comes along faithfully, and they need to do it lovingly, speaking the truth in love, but speaking the truth,
right.
We don't need to be offended by that. If we've not examined ourselves, if we've not proved our own self, and somebody else comes along and gives us some admonition, then we need to receive it in a loving way and realize, you know, sometimes we have to just be like David. Do you remember in the Old Testament one time when David and his band was going along there and all of a sudden there was this guy that was throwing rocks at the king? Remember that? Shimei, is that his name? Shimei. Just kicking up dust and throwing rocks at the king. And I've forgotten his captain's name, but he said, you know, he asked David, said, "You want me to just take his head off? I mean, for treating the king like that?" And again, I haven't read the passage lately. In my own words, basically, David says, "Let him alone. You know, there may be something in me that I need to realize needs to change. Leave him alone." Now, David was the king. And all he had to say was, "Go ahead and do it." And somebody would have been killed. But he had enough maturity about him, enough godly presence of mind in the midst of a difficult situation, an offending situation, could have been in a very offending situation. But he showed mercy. You know, that's one of the best things we can do when somebody reviles us or somebody mistreats us, is to show some mercy. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? That's not what this old flesh would like to do, but it's what the Lord would tell us. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. That's the way the Lord did it. So, knowing that we've got these fleshly tendencies, then it's good for us on a regular basis to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And a really good time to do that very quickly is when we're faced with an offense. When that person cuts in front of you in traffic. When that person pulls out in front of you. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody. Ask me how I know. All right? That's when we need to be mindful that, wait a minute, let's don't follow the flesh. Let's follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Examine yourself. Because that's really a test, isn't it? That really is a test, and sometimes we fail the test. Sometimes it shows that our mind is in the flesh more than it is in the Spirit. So examine yourselves, to see whether you be in the faith. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Okay? He says, Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? We know that, don't we? The Lord is in us. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us a love for Him. No, we're not reprobates. We're not void of judgment. We know this. God has blessed us. If we're blessed to know Him and to have an appreciation for His Word, it's only because God has given us an ear to hear and a heart to feel and a desire to love Him, because He first loved us. If we have felt that, if we rejoice in the things of God, then bless your hearts, those are evidences that we are one of His children. And if we've ever been one of His children, we still are. Sometimes God's children don't act like they're God's children, but if they've ever been God's children, they still are. All right? So examine yourselves. So let's examine. Let's take a few topics tonight and examine ourselves. The first, a good start, a good place to start is to examine our prayer life. How's our praying to God? If Jesus prayed often when He was here, and He's perfect, and the Spirit was not given to Him by measure, and He always did the Father's will, and His meat was to do the will of the Father which sent Him and to finish His work, and yet He still prayed to the Father oftentimes. Don't you think we need that? We need it on a regular basis. I tell you, it seems like I get fed spiritually as much from praying sometimes as I do from reading. And it's not, and I'm not talking about the kind of praying that's just asking the Lord for this and asking the Lord for that and asking the Lord to receive. I'm spending time praying for others. I'm spending time asking for the Lord to protect and to shield us and to be with us and to give us wisdom and give wisdom to our leaders and give wisdom to those that are in places of authority, that God would work in them and through them mightily for His glory and for the blessing of God's people. That's what I pray for. And I tell you, that just feeds my soul to go through that on a regular basis. I tell you, prayer is like oxygen when we breathe. You ever been in a low oxygen environment? Well, you probably have if you've worn a mask here lately. You know, it's just not good when you don't have good air to breathe, right? And praying is like it keeps oxygen to the inner man. Praying unto God. How is our prayer life? Are we attending to our prayers? And the reason I put this so high on the list is because James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man, including the sisters too, availeth much. So if the effectual fervent praying of a righteous man availeth much, then James also tells us ye have not because ye ask not. And then he goes on talking about sometimes we ask amiss. So how's our prayer? You know, one of the things that we need to examine when we examine ourselves is how is our prayer life? And you can answer that. You don't have to tell me. You can answer that. You know how your prayers are. You know sometimes when we pray, I don't feel like our prayers get above our head. And sometimes it just seems like the words are just flowing. And we just feel like the Lord's right there with us. What a blessing that is. Those are special times, aren't they? Special times. So So our prayer life is so important. And it bothers, if you're like me, it just really bothers me when I try to pray and I just don't feel like those prayers are getting very far. And it kind of reminds me that maybe my heart's too high already. Maybe that my heart needs to come down some. Maybe I need to be more humble, because it's the humble that God listens to, not the proud. The proud, he knoweth afar off, but the humble are the ones the Lord listens to. The Lord hears those prayers. When I say hears, I mean not only does he hear it, but he acknowledges it. I'm sure he's aware of all the prayers that are offered. Okay? So pray. You know, let me notice a couple of verses of scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. I might could quote these, but I want to get all of it. Jeremiah 29. Let's see, in the interest of time, Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I remembered the conditions of the people in Jeremiah's ministry, a very rebellious people, a very sinful people, a people that were far from God, a people that eventually were carried into captivity. But even in that condition, the Lord said, if they would seek and find him, if they would search for him with all their heart. I think of people that would be searching for God with all their heart. I think they would be getting close to what James was talking about. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You might say, well, preacher, those folks didn't sound like they were very righteous. Well, if they're God's people, if Jesus died for them, there's a sense that they are. They might be disobedient, they might be lazy, they might be rebellious, but if they're God's people, they're his people. Effectual, fervent prayer. Sometimes situations in life, and I hope that in this last year or so, I hope that we've been reminded on a regular basis how much we need the Lord every day. We've had such blessings in this nation of freedom and so forth, and when we feel like some of those things are being infringed upon, then it reminds us that, well, you know, there may be some changes coming. And so, when we realize that, then we need to realize to a deeper sense our need of the Lord. I mean, he can take care of us. He knows how to deliver the godly from the, you know, he took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Even when Lot seemed like he was satisfied to stay there, the Lord delivered him. The Lord can deliver us in whatever situation we're facing. He can. He's done it many times. The Bible's full of places where God has delivered his people. So when we examine ourselves, examine first of all our prayer life. How are we praying to God? Is our praying fervent and effectual? Let's go to Matthew 7. I don't have time to deal with all the thoughts of these passages, but I'm trying to follow a train of thought tonight. Matthew 7. Let's begin in verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. I've always been intrigued by that, haven't you? Because we know that there has to be a right way to ask. And like we said, with James tells us, sometimes we ask and have not, and we ask amiss. So he says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. It shall be opened. When we come to God in the right way, humbly, recognizing we need the Lord. Thankful that he has had mercy upon us and has blessed us to know him, to know his son, to know the work that the Lord Jesus did for us and the security of it, and the love that he has for us, and the mercy, the care, the grace that's been bestowed, all of these things. When we are thinking like we should and humbly go to God and ask, it's going to be a much better experience, isn't it? And John tells us that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. So if we're just asking for things that we want that's not according to his will, he hasn't promised anywhere that he's going to just give us that. But when we ask in the right way, when we ask in the right spirit, when we come to him on his terms, and when we're close enough to him that we're asking and submitting ourselves to his will, then we'll get an answer. An answer. In the way that pleases the Lord to give it to us. It's our prayer life. All right, he goes on to say, still in Matthew 7, or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? We wouldn't do that, would we? To our children? All right? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? You know, the bread, if asking for bread, you wouldn't give him a stone, because a stone has no value, no good, would be no benefit. You know, bread's supposed to nourish us, but not a stone. It just wouldn't be appropriate, would it? And if they ask for a fish, would you give them a serpent? You're not going to give them something that's going to hurt them. We know that, right? If ye then, being evil, we do have that fallen nature about us. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and we do, we want to do the best we can for them. We want to do whatever we can for them. We want to protect them. We want to nourish them. We want to nurture them. We want to help them. We want to do what's good for them. We know that. Even in the sense of this verse, even being evil, having that old fallen nature about us, we still know that. So he says then, how much more? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? How much more does he know that we do? How much more? We can't measure that, can we? It's immeasurable of how much more he knows how to give good things to them that ask than we know how to give good things to our children. So why wouldn't we be praying in the right way unto the one who knows immeasurably more about what we need than we do? So we need to examine ourselves sometimes and see if we're in the faith. So why do we pray? I mean, I put this at the top of the list as far as what we need. If we're going to obey the scripture and examine ourselves, then why do we examine our prayers first? Because there's a battle raging. There's a spiritual battle that's raging in this world. I appreciate Brother Kenneth selecting that. Am I a soldier of the cross? Are we? Are we a soldier? If we are, what kind of a soldier are we? Are we willing to fight? Are we willing to stand? Are we willing to endure hardness if necessary for the sake of winning the battle? Now, we know that there's a sense in which the victory's ours. And I'm afraid there's a lot of folks who think, well, the victory's ours, so I can just sit around and not do anything. Well, we please the Lord when we let our light shine. We please the Lord when we have a good influence in the kingdom of God. We please the Lord when we're actively trusting and serving and doing what we can to show the love and the mercy that he's given to us. Instead of just keeping it all in, let's let it show. Let's bring some glory to God. This is a dark world in which we live in. It needs some light, and he's given us some light. What are we doing with it? Are we putting it under a bushel, or are we letting it shine? It's clear from Scripture he wants us to let it shine. And you know what I mean when I say he wants us to do. It's not that we're overpowering God, but sometimes we just don't do what we know to do. And what we know to do is pray to God, because we need his help. He's given us armor so that we can face the battle. He's given us armor so that we can be faithful to him and take our stand, and having done all to stand, he's given that to us. And the end of that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, when he describes that armor, he says, "And praying, and with all praying, with all supplication and prayer." Ephesians 6. I'm missing a word. Praying always. That's it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I tell you, that one verse there is just full of prayer. Praying for one another, lifting up our supplications for others, praying in the Spirit. There's just so much that he has to say there about prayer. Think about it. It's important, isn't it? Aren't you thankful that the Lord gave us prayer? Yeah. Aren't you thankful that he gave us the opportunity to speak to him? Yeah. Aren't you thankful that we can feel his presence and commune with him in prayer?
Absolutely.
In spirit. We don't have the ability. Well, no man can look upon God and live.
Yeah.
Moses was a good man, but God told Moses, "You can't look upon my face and live." So, prayer is important. How are we doing in our prayers? It's worthy of our examination. so that we can see whether we're in the faith. All right. There's other things we could say about it. Are we walking close with the Lord? Is that important? You know, Enoch did such a good job with that that the Lord took him.
Yeah.
We're still here. I'm still here, at least. The Lord took him. He had this testimony. Enoch had this testimony that he walked with God. Adam walked with the Lord for a little while. Now, I don't know how long it was before he sinned, but until he sinned, he walked with God. You know, the Lord came down to the garden in the cool of the day and communed with them. Evidently, just from how that reads, there was no problem with God communing with his creation openly. But when sin came, there was separation. There was death. Man died to something that he had before. Walking with God. This whole book tells us how to do that. One of the, in the early chapters of Genesis, we find the Lord telling Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, that walk before me, you know, the Lord sees everything. You're not going to walk anywhere that he doesn't see you. But what does he mean by walk before me? To walk before him has the presence of mind that we're in the sight of God. You forget that, you're going to let some things slip. But if you keep that in the forefront of your mind, that whatever we do, we're walking before God. Remember the Elder Farris used to tell a story about a man with his son, and they went into town, and before he left town, he stopped by the liquor store. And the man and his son was going in the door, and the man stopped, and he looked down the street this way, and he looked down the street that way, and he started in. His daddy and his little boy said, "Daddy, you didn't look up." We walk before God. He sees all things. Nothing's hidden from his eyes. He knows our down sittings and our uprisings. He knows everything about, he knoweth our thoughts afar off. You know, there's not a word in our tongue, but lo, he knows it all together. Examine ourselves. Is there something about our walk that we need to prove ourselves about? It's just one of those things that if we're going to examine ourselves, if we're going to do a good job, that's something we need to consider. Okay? So, our prayer life, our walking with God, are we growing in grace? I said that earlier. The last verse of 2 Peter, as Peter in that epistle is, the whole theme of that epistle is to remind us, to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. And he closes out, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing. Have we grown any in the last year or so? Have we grown any? You know, I know that's hard to answer sometimes. Life teaches us a lot. And I hope one of the things that we learn from life on a regular basis is how much we need the Lord. We need him in all things. Sometimes we learn lessons and it helps us to face other things later on down life. Sometimes we experience things and we have to ask ourselves, I wonder what I'm going to face later that I need this for. You know, there's all kinds of things that life teaches us, but I hope we're growing in our readiness to say, Lord, I need you. Oftentimes in youth, we think we're young and vigorous and we don't need the Lord. You know, that just seems to be the mindset of so many. And maybe we've been there too. And then, you know, Facebook has taught me a lot about some people that I grew up with, and now seeing the kind of life that they live and kind of things that they like to post and all that, it just warms my heart to see that folks do grow up. They do change. It gives me a more of a readiness to have a little more patience with folks. I've lived long enough now that I've seen that happen a lot. So, are we growing? Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he talks about desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And our little children, they grow up too fast, don't they? Too fast for us. But now you want them to grow. You want them to learn. You want them to be able to do the things they need to do for the age that they are. Well, let's apply that spiritually. Are we growing? You know, we've been in the church for some time. Are we growing in our understanding? Are we growing in our ability to apply these principles to our lives? We never get to the place where we're able to handle it. We don't need the Lord anymore. No, that's never going to be the case. As a matter of fact, one evidence of growth is that we're more readily dependent on the Lord. You know, that's one of the benefits of, that's one of the things about praying. You know, in prayer, we exercise our dependence upon Him. But in sin and neglect, we try to exercise our independence from God. But the more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the more we realize that, I think we heard recently, that our strength is made perfect in weakness. We can't handle it ourselves, but God can. And He'll strengthen us for whatever He is pleased for us to do. And so, just like some other things, you know, when we humble ourselves before God, that's a sign of strength. That's not weakness like the world would look at it. That's a sign of strength to humble yourself before God. And to express our dependence upon Him. And so, there's more joy to be found in that than trying to handle it yourself. All right. Time's getting away. One of the things I've always appreciated, but it seems like the older I get, the more I appreciate love. Love. When you're so busy trying to get things done and attend to this and attend to that, and you're rushing around, sometimes you don't stop and think about your loved ones. What a blessing. What a blessing that God has given us one another. You know, the height of selfishness is just to be off to yourself. And I've heard it expressed by ministers, and I tend to agree, that one of the striking things about hell will be that you'll be all alone. Now, there'll be a lot of people there, but in your experience, you'll be alone. And that is definitely the exact opposite from what we have in Christ. When the Lord has reconciled us and made peace between us and God and brought us back together, and nothing can ever separate us in that. That's why it's such a frustration with the things going on right now, that they want us to be separated and they want us to not do this and not do that. They want us to not to, you know, there's some people, and I'm not beating a dead horse here, but there's some people that if we never met together as a church again, they would be happy. Or happy with that, at least. And that's what's one of the frustrations about this. But the Lord is able to handle that. The Lord is able to take care of us in that. And we've just got to hold on to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that maybe we've not held on as tightly in the past sometimes as we needed to, but we need to be doing that right now. Because He is our help. He is our wisdom. He is our guide. He is the one that can do something about this when we can't. He's the one that can. So, as we think about the need for prayer, the need for walking close, the need for growing in grace, the need to appreciate the love of God, the love of the brethren, the blessing of the church, the blessing of the fellowship of God's people. Oh, what a blessing we have from the Lord. That just adds richness to our life, doesn't it? Loving one another. And so there's no wonder that God just boils down all of His commandments into two things. Remember? Just like that first table of stone had all those commandments that dealt with our worship of God. And that second table, the last six of the Ten Commandments, dealt with our dealings with one another. And so Jesus summarized all of that with two things, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Paul would say to the Romans, love is the fulfilling of the law. Jesus would say in John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You get the idea? I mean, I know you already know it, but to remind you of it, that's what it all boils down to. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We love Him because He first loved us. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. I mean, we could go on all night about this subject of love, but that's what it boils down to. The more we realize how much God has loved us, the more we desire to love Him more. That song that we opened up with tonight, more love to thee. That's what it's all about. Remembering. And I ask the Lord on a regular basis, Lord, teach me how to love you more. I know I've come so far short. He shows me so many times His tokens of affection. He shows me so many times the blessings that He gives us each day. There's so many ways that God shows His love to us. We just need to try to major in showing that love to Him. One of the ways, He says, is, if you love me, keep my commandments. I've already quoted to you when He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. So it's not all about just expressing love to God. That's good, and we need to do that. But we also express love to Him when we express love to one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one to another. And didn't He say in Matthew 25 that inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me? Didn't Jesus tell Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, when Saul was going about persecuting disciples? He takes it personally. So when we do things for others out of love for God, and we do for others, then we're showing love to Him. How's that going for us as we examine ourselves? See, I've just scratched the surface. I've just hit some high points. But if we truly will, we probably know that verse of Scripture's there, but how often do we obey it? How often do we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith? You know, reading through the Psalms, David did that a lot. Reading through the Psalms, David examined his own heart a lot of times. David thought about a lot of things, and nobody else in all the Bible do we have more record of someone that had so many thoughts about God and so many ways of expressing those thoughts, and all of that's there to teach us how we need to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Prove our own selves. We know. We have felt the love of God in our heart. We know He's a merciful and loving God. May God help us to respond to that love in loving ways, in prayer, in our walk, in loving one another, in growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Let's examine ourselves. If we examine ourselves, what we see, how we're responding to all the frustrations that we're facing during this COVID challenge, that's our COVID checkup for tonight. Check ourselves. If we're in the faith, in the way we're responding to this COVID situation, examine ourselves. Think about it. It's something we can each one do in our privacy of our own thoughts, just between us and the Lord. He already knows, so you don't have to worry about confessing anything to Him. He already knows. But you know, sometimes it's very revealing to us when we pause and consider, are we responding to this in the way that's pleasing to the Lord? May God bless you, is our prayer.